This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation countdown to training camp continues. 3 weeks from today, we'll be flying out to Oxnard, California for Cowboys camp. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Lucius Alexander, Carter Freeman, and you, our Turn It On, Leave It On listeners. Appreciate you listening wherever you might be, cruising around the Metroplex, listening on the Odyssey app, or watching us on YouTube and on Twitch. The General Gavin Dawson back next week on vacation in Oregon with the family. But we did get a taste of the first episode of the Giants Hard Knocks off-season edition.
Oh, did you get how much of a taste did you get? Did you consume the whole thing?
I wasn't able to watch the whole thing. Obviously, last night was a challenging night with baby girl. She did not really want to go to sleep.
You said she's been sleeping so well.
She hates the Giants.
She hates the Giants. She does.
You said she's finally gotten accustomed to your bosom.
Yeah, well, when she finally falls asleep, it's good. The issue is, like, at times getting her to sleep. So it was a process last night. And so I wasn't able to consume all of the Hard Knocks episode.
Well, I heard it was extremely boring. But that was from a Raiders fan who texted me.
Okay.
And he might have been in the midst of any type of hard drug.
Yeah, he might have been. And we love you, Raider Joe. We really do. By the way, you can still send us some letters from prison.
So did you get, like, halfway? Damn. Shout out to Raider Joe.
Thanks.
Yo, so did you watch half of it, then go to sleep, or like, well, how did that work?
Yeah, it was.
When people say, like, yeah, I've seen a little bit of it, well, I never understand what that means.
Like, I'll have to finish the rest of it today.
Okay, you watched half, and then like, all right, yeah. Okay, cool.
I was able to finish House of the Dragon, which to me was a little bit more important.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'll get the clips of Hard Knocks, like what we're about to play now.
Nah, you in your bag, bro. Go ahead.
And House of the Dragon was good.
You in your bag.
So here's a little sample, if you missed it and you didn't watch the full thing, like myself. They did have a conversation about Saquon Barkley, and this aspect of it is fun. Like the trades, the draft prep, how to maneuver free agency, kind of how the Giants are trying to build their team, especially as a team that plays them twice a year. We hate them. They're in our own division here in the NFC East. Here's Giants exec Tim McDonald on possibly losing Saquon Barkley.
I just think all the teams that need a running back are going to look at Saquon. Do you feel good about eating $3 to $4 million for a fifth round pick? Like, I wouldn't.
I don't know. There's no guarantee we can trade him. So, you know, having the needs that we have in a $12 million, 27-year-old running back.
Trading Saquon is a Hail Mary. And the drama and all that goes with it, we did that last year.
It's 10 years off my life dealing with it. Emotionally was draining. We spent a lot of time on it. But again, I don't want that to be the reason that we don't do what's best for the franchise.
Okay, so to take this step further, we lose Saquon, right? What's our identity going to be on offense now? And what's our plan to, what's the next step of that? I guess it's what I'm thinking. Like, we're losing
a
large part of our offense, our explosiveness, our touchdowns. Quarterback, if it's Daniel, depends on the run game.
We got to upgrade the offensive line, and you're paying the guy $40 million. It's not to hand the ball off to a $12 million back. My plan is to address the offensive line at some point here in free agency. We're sitting at 6. There's a chance there's an offensive weapon there. This is the year for Daniel. Plan all along was give him a couple years. Is he our guy for the next 10 years, or do we need to pivot and, you know, find somebody else?
So it's interesting, right? Like, they're having conversations kind of similar like we do on Sports Talk Radio, not to compare. I mean, they're living and dying with this thing. Like, there's jobs on the line here.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, we're paying our quarterback $40 million. They asked the identity question, which I know you love. Mm-hmm. And it did seem as though their offense, at least the year that they were good and won 10 games with Brian Daboll year one, and they ended up upsetting Minnesota in a playoff game, it did run through Saquon Barkley. And then Daniel Jones ran the ball well himself on the ground, which was actually interesting to watch, besides the turf monster getting him on Thursday Night Football against the Eagles. But they're saying, look, we're paying $40 million for Daniel Jones. We need him to do more than just, hey, we're turning around and our identity's paying the running back now.
Yeah.
Right. So they're looking at, and they do end up drafting Malik Nabers with the 6th overall pick to try and add weapons around him. Now, they're also not giving up clearly there from that soundbite on Daniel Jones. I think we all have. Like, if we were in the Giants front office,
they're going to die on that hill.
They have to.
Yeah, they're going to die on that hill.
They've committed to paying the guy.
Joe is going to die, that staff. You could hear it in their voice.
Yeah.
that they know that they're effed. You know, they really are. I mean, they're like talking, you know, like, oh, what about this? What about what? Can we eat this, eat that? You know, but in reality, he knows that his team, that there's a good chance that he might not be the general manager picking first overall between him and the Patriots, I believe, next year. You know,
you think those are the two worst teams?
I think those
Giants and Patriots.
I think that's going to be the two teams.
Honestly, I wish we had cameras in the office when they made the decision, I guess, last offseason to pay Daniel Jones.
Yeah, that would have been fascinating.
Like, that's the room and the decision in the moment that everything went to.
What I want to know, I would love to see video from that meeting.
Yeah, me too.
That's the one
we're a year late on this.
Where if Tim McDonald's going, well, you know,
are we really about to pay this guy?
Well, damn, Joe.
We're so scared.
What are we thinking about
here? What are we going to do without Daniel Jones?
So here's them talking themselves. Maybe they are. Maybe they're just talking themselves into, okay, this is why Daniel Jones didn't pan out last year.
Yeah, this is hopium.
All the hopium. What are we going to do? How do we end up fixing this? Here's Joe Schein and the rest of the group talking about drafting and what is the plan with Daniel Jones.
And I think you said it. Like, last year we were better at every position on defense. We were better at some positions on offense. And we won six games. We're going to draft well. We're going to sign good guys.
Yep.
We got a good plan. The reality is, facts.
Yeah.
Three serious injuries in 2 years.
Yep.
We need to protect ourselves. He didn't have much of a chance this year. That's legit. Yeah. Like, your offseason, the four guys, your core guys that were going to play together played less than 60 snaps together.
Yep.
100%. We got Miami, we got three practice squad guys playing for us.
Yeah.
Like, nobody could you could have Pat Mahomes and he can't win it behind that. Well, I'm not giving up on he's under contract for three more years. Just protecting ourselves because best predictor of the future is the past.
Yeah. See, they're trying to
talk. The past ain't that good on your boy.
They've drafted, like they're talking about drafting, they've drafted offensive linemen.
They have.
They just haven't hit on them.
They've been the complete opposite of what Dallas has done with plug and play first round offensive linemen. They're the one team that has found the offensive lineman that can't play.
Yeah.
They do a great job.
They've thrown money at it. Nate Solder, they've thrown money at this offensive line and tried to bring guys in and stuff like that.
It leaves the door open though, honestly. Like for this guy Joe Schein, right? He's the general manager. Yeah. He's the one that's dialing it up here.
Yeah.
Like for afterlife here after the Giants, inevitably when he's no longer there.
Yeah,
he will have opportunities if organizations want to bring a guy in, and it's like, let me see your for this upcoming draft. Let's see your offensive line rankings, and then you can just sort of do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
You know, like there's it's the what not to do coach.
Yeah.
And we talk about this time and time. There's so many different avenues for guys like this, but there's the same for quarterbacks. You know, like I remember when the Panthers brought in Baker Mayfield and it was kind of like to show Matt Corral when they had him, even though he got banged up. It was like, this is the what not to do quarterback. I think they had Sam Darnold there as well. It's like, we got two of these guys. Do the opposite of what these guys do. And you do this when you're hiring a head coach. You bring in a guy and you're like, hey, how do you run your terrible organization so we can make sure we do the exact opposite of everything you say? And for Joe Schein, he might have that opportunity when it comes to offensive linemen in the draft. There's an advisory role for this.
It's been as a consultant. Very, very bad. It has. Now, we also had this clip of audio, which was, very passionate. Our guy Stank, Mark Schlereth. Last year around this time, we had the S-ing in their helmets clip come out about the Cowboys. Like, I'm not buying the Cowboys because I know they're going to S in their helmets like they do every year.
I'm glad. I'm gonna pull that back. Because it applies.
Up being spot on. Well, he's got a different team that he's pointing the finger at now, and it's the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. And here's Stank going off on them.
I do not want to hear from all of you out there that are telling me that Lamar Jackson, well, they don't get him weapons. How many first-round wide receivers do you need to draft? Well, they're not drafting the right one. Well, you're not developing them. Well, how do you develop them? Well, your quarterback has a long way to go in developing wide receivers. So I don't want to hear that bullshit from you anymore. Any of you Baltimore fans, I'm tired of it. They drafted first round talent. They've drafted tight ends in the first round. They've drafted three different wide receivers since 2018 in the first round. I mean, Aaron Rodgers went, 16, 17 years with the Green Bay Packers? They never drafted a guy in the first round, whether it was a tight end or a wide receiver for him. So don't tell me about it. I mean, it's one of those things. Don't tell me about the pain. Show me the baby. Produce in the playoffs.
I get what he's saying. They, like, we've talked about the Giants putting in resources to the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Ravens have been drafting, to his point, receivers and tight ends. And I think Zay Flowers is one they're going to hit on. Rashad Bateman, they didn't. That one didn't work out. They bring in Odell Beckham Jr. last year. Wasn't great. Lamar played two playoff games last year, though, to his point. One was against C.J. Stroud and the Texans. Mm-hmm. And we've given C.J. Stroud his flowers. In that game, C.J. Stroud went 19 of 33 for 175 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, a 49.8 QBR. Lamar Jackson went 16 of 22, 152 yards, two touchdowns, and 94 QBR, also had 100 yards and two touchdowns on the ground. So, obviously, I think we know, like, Lamar is overall just an incredible offensive weapon at the quarterback position that is incredibly difficult to prepare for defenses. Now, in the AFC Championship game, when they went away from running the football and they put the game on Lamar Jackson and his arm, he did not deliver. And they lost 17-10 in that game, and their defense played well enough to beat Kansas City that day. But at least in one of the playoff games last year, Lamar outplayed C.J. Stroud, who is a guy that we're kind of elevating as maybe the next guy to jump into the top five conversation. So, I mean, I understand, hey, maybe we should stop talking about Lamar and the weapons around him, because I think they've done enough. I think they have now, to where that's probably not a conversation we need to have. It's either time for Lamar to and the Ravens to take that next step as an organization, and they finally make a Super Bowl. I think they just blew their best chance to do it last year.
Yeah, I think it's almost a guarantee that they did. I don't put on Lamar that Marquise Brown didn't really work out for them, or Rashad Bateman either.
Right.
And then, like you said, Zay Flowers probably is going to work out here. So, I think it's all fair. Like, we've seen Dak has gone to Tampa and played well in a playoff game, but that is nowhere close to his playoff identity as a quarterback. This one Lamar Jackson solid game against a rookie quarterback at home with 2 weeks to prepare for Lamar and a rookie head coach and clearly the better team on the field, a gauntlet of a season there for the Ravens, what they just had. And you go out there and you throw for 152 yards. You didn't have to do much more than that. But, like, okay, I mean, cool. That's great. And then you put up, what, 7 points versus Kansas City the next week at home? Like, all right. There's so much left to be desired from a postseason standpoint for him and that team.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, I think for Dak, it's a similar conversation there, right? Like, we know you're really good in the regular season. Lamar, you got two MVPs. Dak, you were just an MVP runner-up. Now, Lamar's got the AFC Championship game appearance now. That's something Dak's still looking for. But those are definitely two quarterbacks that you're wanting more from come playoff time. Now, we talked Nick Cannon earlier. See, Antonio Cromartie's back in the news.
You're kidding me.
Antonio Cromartie.
No, this is not happening. Don't tell me
it's not another child.
Okay,
it's not another child, but I think he does need a job.
I thought he's with the Aggies.
He's going to be a coaching intern during training camp with the Jets. So he's going back to the Jets. He said, I'm grateful for the opportunity. I have to do the Bill Walsh internship with the New York Jets for fall camp, ready to learn as much as I can during this time. Thank you, Coach Sala, and your staff for the opportunity. Back to one Jet drive. So maybe this ends up, he was a graduate assistant in Texas A&M with Jimbo. Jimbo's now fired, mm-hmm. So he doesn't have a job there.
Yeah.
So now he's going to go be a coaching intern with the Jets, and maybe he ends up latching on there full time.
You know what? I got to know him pretty well. You know, he was nice. There were a couple times where I think he listened to our station.
Yeah, there were some times that he was always trying to come to the Cowboys.
Yeah, he was always
big Tolo.
He was kind of, yeah, exactly. He was always interacting with me on, hey, yeah, if you ever want me to have on, you know, that kind of super nice guy and stuff. So I'm surprised that somebody hasn't brought somebody like him on. You know, the fact that he's not coaching at Texas Tech, or he's not coaching at Baylor or one of those programs.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of thought that
he went to Florida State, right?
Yeah.
So maybe even like FSU wants to bring
him
back.
Yeah, I mean, just a Deion, somebody like that, you would think that maybe Deion didn't respect him as a player and all.
Yeah.
I just found it every time I had an interaction with him.
Good dude.
He was a good dude. And so, hey, I wish him the best. I really don't have I hope that things work out for him.
We also do have the top five pass catching groups in the entire NFL. According to NFL.com.
Ooh, okay. So this is wide receivers and tight ends.
And tight ends. Because now you got to put the tight ends in there.
This is going to be San Francisco, isn't it?
No, San Francisco is not part of that.
They're not in the top five?
No.
San Francisco's not in the top five.
Mm-mm. That's interesting.
Very interesting.
That's intriguing.
Once you start to put the tight end in.
Whose list is this? Who did this?
NFL.com.
NFL.com?
Oh, okay. Bucky Brooks.
Is this Maurice Jones-Drew?
Oh, this is Bucky?
This is Bucky.
You got respect for Buck.
I do like Bucky.
Who's probably at the Star in Frisco when he put this list together?
Might have been.
Is he going to go Dolphins somewhere in there?
Dolphins number one.
Be.
Yeah, okay. Dolphins number one with Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and now they've added Odell Beckham Jr.
Hmm. But, I mean, the tight end position there is still a little
well,
bit.
Well, I mean, tight end, it's not, I mean, if you don't have a great tight end, but you've got three great receivers, that's okay. Some of these teams will be on here because he does believe that they have a tight end that factors into this.
Okay, gotcha. So gotcha. Like, and they do have Jonnu Smith. I guess he's
is he gonna
serviceable.
Throw Philadelphia in there?
Philadelphia number two, A.J. Brown, yeah. Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert.
Is he going to throw the Detroit Lions in there?
Lions are not in there. There are two NFC teams, one AFC team. The one AFC team made a big trade. And we do like their weapons.
Oh, we have an AFC team that made a big
we
trade. That was the Texans.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins. Mm-hmm. They have Dalton Schultz. And then they do have Tank Dell as well coming off injury. He was awesome.
He didn't put Green Bay in there, did he?
No, the other two are kind of a surprise.
Okay. Surprise, like big surprise, like the Commanders?
Well,
not that huge.
Not the
not
Commanders.
That surprising.
Not the Commanders. Not that surprising.
Chicago Bears?
Yes, the Bears
yeah,
are
the
number
Bears,
four.
That's interesting.
DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze. And then they got Cole Kmet, who I do think is a sleeper as a tight end that can emerge.
Rams.
But number five, they've just got three really good receivers.
The Seahawks?
The Seahawks.
Okay.
Jackson Smith and Jigba, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. So he's got them as your top five pass catching groups going into the season.
Cowboys obviously sitting at number six.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Outside looking.
Probably Niners. But I thought like that.
There was a lot of hair splitting there between five and six.
It was tough.
It was like neck and neck.
CeeDee Lamb, Brandon, and Jake Ferguson, Brandon Cooks. I mean, that's a pretty lethal group right there. Let's go around
Jalen
the rim.
Jalen Tolbert.
Around the rim, shall we?
Kevontae Turpin and stuff. I mean, you're excited about Flournoy. You got a lot of good things to say about
Flournoy. Hey, Flournoy can play now.
A lot of potential there with Flournoy. All right, let's get you a little around the rim session. Don't forget about this Klay Thompson super skill, okay? And the King continues to win next year in the nation.